Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good to have all y'all with us today for another session of Read the Word. You guys are late. We just had a possum and a couple raccoons come see us right over here, but all y'all rednecks could have had a good supper, but you wasn't here. So welcome to Read the Word. Tonight, we start a new book. Don't you just love this? We have already read 6 books of the Bible. 87 days. 6 books, 87 days. And actually, it's 7 books. Keep forgetting about Brother John.
Yeah.
But
was in there too.
Tonight, this morning, we're going to begin to read the book of Judges. Now, the book of Judges is a whole new book. We've just had Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, where God said to the children of Israel over and over, do not go astray, do not go astray, do not go astray. Don't go after other gods. Don't make no idols. Don't go the way of all the world. And now, in the book of Judges, we're going to watch it happen. 6 times they're going to go astray. 6 times God's going to send them a judge to deliver them. And at the end of the book of Judges, we're going to get to Ruth. And then Israel asks for a king. And that's the book of Samuel. So the key word of Judges, it's not a good one. It's apostasy. Why? Because these people went chasing after other gods. And if you want to compare it to the New Testament, that'd be the book of Galatians. So, you know, all we can do with the Word of God is read it, see it, watch it, and then don't be like it. Because you don't want to be like these guys were. After God had delivered them and set them free ever and ever and ever and ever, and given them the promised land and blessed them exceeding abundantly above all they could ask or think. And then you're going to go chasing after other gods. God help us not be those people in our lives. Now, I believe personally myself, one of the key doctrines that's going to help you get it all right is the doctrine of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why you hear me pray it. I receive his righteousness, because you can't earn it. And there ain't nothing you can do to be righteous. I know, you're going to stare at me like I stared at the guy that said it to me the first time I caught on to it. It's like, what did you just say? And then the reality just strikes you. Wait, there is nothing you can do to be righteous. Because we don't have any righteousness in our physical being to be able to come it. Now I've gone to preaching, but it's all good preaching. Let's pray our opening prayer that we pray every time we come here. I'm going to get this prayer on a bookmark.
There you go.
So I can send it to you guys. All in favor, signify by raising your right hand and saying the opening prayer. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, so that I will be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Judges chapter 1. Here we go. The continuing conquest of Canaan. Now, after the death of Joshua, came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites, to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah, the tribe of praise, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I've delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to me, to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go up with your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. They killed 10,000 men at Bezek. That's a lot of men. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. Wow. That would be a shame.
Yeah, it would be.
And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table, as I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. He had cut their big toes and thumbs off and made them crawl underneath the table for food.
Wow.
Verse 8, children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. Afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, who dwelt in the mountains, in the south, and in the lowland. Then Judah went against the Canaanites, who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly known as Kirjath Arba, and they killed Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From where they went against the inhabitants of Debir, the name of Debir was formerly Kirjath Sefer. Caleb said, whoever attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Iksa as wife. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, so he gave him his daughter Aksa to his wife. Happened when she came to him that she urged him to ask her father for a field. She dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? So she said to him, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land in the south, give me also springs of water. Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. You know, I got to pause for a minute. When I was in Bible college, somebody preached a message one time out of those verses about upper springs and lower springs. And do you know, to this day, I still can't figure out what that message was all about.
Really? Was it a...
There's a lot of people that wish they could...
Only and not the tail message?
There's a lot of people that wish you could go to Bible college, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't go to one that is a practical application school, all you do is, all you get is brain knowledge.
Religion.
And you don't get the reality of what you're going to face right out here doing what we're doing every day, you and me. And I've often thought about this every time I come by these verses, like, what was that guy even preaching? All right, well, that's real deep value right there. Let's go back now, verse number 16. Now the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of Palms, the children of Judah, into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites, who inhabited Zebeth, and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah. And Judah took Gaza and its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, Ekron with its territory. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, because they had chariots of iron. And evidently, when you got a chariot of iron, you're tough to beat. Here we go. Verse 20, they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said that he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusite who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell, the children of Benjamin, in Jerusalem to this day. Cars running.
Oh.
The house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with him. House of Joseph went to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. When the spies saw a man coming out of that city, they said to him, "Please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy." So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword. These people were just some rough people, weren't they? But they let the man and all his family go. And the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, called its name Luz, which is its name to this day. Verse 27. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. And, you know, I know I said it the other day, but I'm going to say it again right now. That this is an example of you and I driving out the things in our life that are weaknesses and our forms of idols. We've got to drive them out, guys, because if you don't, then they're going to stay in there and be a burr in your saddle. And you got to say, "God, help me see your righteousness and get this in my life." Now, verse 29:30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalal. So the Canaanites dwell among them and were put under tribute. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Alab, Akzib, Helba, and Aphek, or Rehob. So the Asherites dwell among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelled among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute to them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. Wow. And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Heras, in Ajalon, Sheolbim. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became greater, they were put under subjection. And that's what you and I got to say. We're of the tribe of Judah, Jesus. And we will put our enemies under subjection. Verse 36. Now the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah and upward. Chapter number 2. Israel's disobedience. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, "I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Isn't that a wonderful thing for God to say to us? "And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you." Wow. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim. They sacrificed there to the Lord. When Joshua dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. Verse 7, now the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And, you know, Brother Hagin prophesied at one point that if you and I don't take the move of the Holy Spirit to this generation right now, there'll be generations, I believe he said plural, that will never know the move of the Holy Spirit. And there's a bunch of them people right now. And you can't blame them. They don't know. You and I, who do know, got to get this word to that generation.
Amen.
I'm really working hard tonight to not preach, but verse 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And they followed after other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. That's a mess. Isn't that a mess?
Yeah.
13, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asherah. Baal is the people that literally did child sacrifice.
Kind of like now.
And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers, who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. You ever met a Christian that was greatly distressed? More than likely came from a serious point of disobedience in their lives. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to the judges, but they played the harlot. Isn't that something that God said? They played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. When the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groanings because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. It came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against them, Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. So that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. Wow. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. What an amazing lesson for you and me, that no matter how much God delivers us from, ever go chasing it. You and I have no excuse, because they didn't have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus like you and I have. They didn't get to be delivered from sin.
Right.
They just got their sins covered. You and I, we not only get delivered from sin, we actually get the DNA of God. And you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And that, my friends, is a powerful force. That is the most powerful force on the face of this earth. Well, let's pray the prayer of salvation, and we'll be finished for this morning. Wow, already in the book of Judges. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
John chapter 1.
In John chapter 1.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it, Lord.
I do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on the third day.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
In every area.
In every area.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your love.
All of your love.
And all of your righteousness.
And all of your righteousness.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And you might say, some of you are, I can tell, saying, wow, something's going on inside of me. Yeah. You just ask God Almighty and his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come live inside of me. All you got to do is open that door a crack, and he fills you with everything he is. Now watch. This isn't church, although we are one. This isn't religion, although we believe in God. This isn't churchianity, although you're going to enjoy this gathering of believers. You just got a relationship with the Father and are restored to what God made you when he put you on this earth, a perfect relationship of oneness with the Father. You can read that in John chapter 14, John chapter 17, where Jesus literally says, it's his last prayer he prayed for the disciples before he just suffered. Where he said that we get to be one with the Father, and the Father in us, and we in them, and he in us. We might be one with him. And that's a beautiful thing. In Jesus, my name. You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from your sin to righteousness. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. He just came to live within you. Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. And you just said, I receive you. Jesus just born you again and gave you all of his righteousness so that you don't. And now the Father looks over and says, adopt them into the family, and you're adopted. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You are now in the family. And that's so much bigger than churchianity. And God lives inside of you to lead you from the inside out in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I encourage you, send me an email. Because I want to know who you are. And from wherever you are around the world, all 32 nations around the world on Blog Talk Radio and our different platforms. We want to know who you are. We bless you now. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember, this is a faith ministry. The Father has encouraged you to sow a seed to us. Sow a seed. And isn't that interesting? If you're the person that God has instructed to sow a motor coach to us, Call us up because we got a plan. We got to get on the road. That's really weird to say that because I've only said it twice now. Both times instructed by the Holy Spirit. Anyways, most of all, thanks for being a part of this program. Send it to everybody you know. I really want to see this where we can reach 100 people that we're just reading the Word of God to every day, and they're making the statement, this is transforming my life. Remember, in the links, the notes, there's a link that is the whole playlist for all of these programs. It's all in one link. It's in a playlist in YouTube. If you send that to your family, your friends, your enemies, they'll get the whole playlist and be able to catch up to us. And that'll be a blessing. Well, we sure do love you guys. Remember, Sunday morning we receive communion. And until we see you again, keep your eyes on the eastern skies because Jesus is coming again. And the events of the Middle East makes you wonder how we're still here. But you're ready now. And that's a cool thing. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And
Jesus is Lord.
See you soon. To all of our friends and partners on Blog Talk Radio, we love you. We truly do. And I speak the presence of God, the blessing of God, and the hand of God in your life in Jesus' mighty name. May God be with you. Until we see you again in Jesus' mighty name. See you soon.